Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, money, money.
Welcome everybody to the Backdoor Cover NFL Gambling Podcast Thanksgiving edition. I have with me the good luck charm himself, Keith Fleming. I had to bring him back. It's been a rough couple weeks, and I keep thinking that prior to the rough couple weeks, I had a show with you. I went 5-0. Nobody heard it but you, and I haven't won since. So you're back. I don't know what you did that day on the show, but you got to bring that magic again.
It's normally just whatever I pick. I think you were picking the opposite, and that led to the day that you had. No, I mean, I've told so many people that, I mean, it's just the ultimate irony that you record something like that. What did you miss? One game? Was that it?
I missed one game. I went 10-1 that week.
And yeah, like I said, I was the only one that had that information. Did I take all 11 of those bets and go place them? No, because I'm an idiot. But hopefully we'll get something going here. Before we get started, the Thanksgiving day just as a whole, we were kind of chatting about this before. I mean, the NFL's got to do something. Like, I know Detroit has a birthright to this game, but I mean, that's one bad game guaranteed every year. The Cowboys have played like the Washington organization. I mean, this is like the second time they played the Raiders in the last decade. They play the Eagles a lot on this day. Nobody wants to watch those games either. Like, can we at least get like Cowboys, Chiefs, Cowboys, Pats, Cowboys, somebody? And then the night game, which is their one, we can do whatever we want. This is actually not a terrible game with the Bills Saints, but I'm not excited about it because of what's happened to the Saints roster. But, I mean, at least they were trying. But, I mean, there's been years that the Jets have been involved. The NFL needs to get Thanksgiving right, because if we're going to have one weekday off, you know, during the season to all watch three games of football, I'd like them to be a little better than what they've been for at least the last decade.
On behalf of the NFL, I'd like to tell you that you're going to watch it regardless. There's nothing else on. Just sitting in front of the TV watching football is as much of a tradition as us having to suffer through the Detroit Lions playing. So I don't know if they can flex out some of these traditional teams. It's just kind of what people expect. It would be hard to take the Lions out, even if they are one of the most piss poor franchises in the league. It'd be hard.
Forget in the league, in sports.
Yeah, and then you kind of want to match them up with the Packers, the Vikings, or the Bears. Just that NFC North rivalry centering around the Lions just has to happen. They've got a greatest hits of Thanksgiving games. Probably the only time you can find Lions highlights. So
I just love they said the rivalry of the NFC North. It's been the Packers for what, two decades, just taking everybody's lunch money. There's no rivalries in the NFC North anymore. I know they may care about it head to head, but you got to win the division more than once every 15 years to be considered a rival.
And I don't think having the Cowboys play the Chiefs or any team associated with Native Americans is a good look.
But that's also a fair point there. So I'm going to go to Patriots then. Let's say Patriots.
That might be a little bit better. But I don't know. I've never really pay much attention to who's playing, other than the fact this football. I'm never satisfied with any game that's played during the week, including Monday night games. So I'm always complaining if it's any day but Sunday for the NFL. So I think it's just one of those things where it's just the event that is really what matters to the league, is that they just put somebody out there. And if people are used to watching the Lions lose, then damn it, that's what they're going to promote. And it is true, though. Like, ultimately, people are going to watch regardless.
You're right about that.
The Jets play. There's literally nothing else for us to watch. I lied. I watch college basketball.
Yeah. And there's college football, too.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, the football reigns supreme, and NFL is the apex of that. So it's we would have to stage one of the largest protests of all time, a complete blackout.
A January 6th type protest, is that what you're saying?
I don't even know. NFL's pretty stubborn, man. But I'm excited about these games, except actually I don't like the last game of the night. I don't like the Bills Saints. I wish they had to flex that out, but I guess you can't. And it is because of the injuries. If the Saints were completely healthy, I'd be really excited about that matchup too. But I think we've got a dynamic where all three games have some entertainment value, even if the level of competition isn't up to par with what we would like. So that's my nice way of saying there's nothing we can
do. You got hired by CBS or Fox NFL.
I do use CBS for my Telestrator, so I definitely should big up the Tony Romo package, actually. First game, Bears versus Lions. Lions are hosting the Bears. Lions are at home and a 3-point underdog, over under at 41.5. The lines are coming from mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is our group sponsor. As you guys know, every week I promote it, mybookie.ag. If you sign up with promo code IBSports, you get a nice little rollover bonus and they'll match your deposit. So make sure you at least look into that, because the match deposit is good enough. All right. Jared Goff's back from what I last read. Khalil Mack's out, Justin Fields out, both safeties are questionable for the Bears. Hicks is out, Damian Williams is out, and we're left with Andy Dalton, who is backed by Nick Foles. Is that a train in the background?
Yeah. It's the money and the train and all the momentum going to Chicago, despite all that you said, because it's the Lions.
No, the train is trying to interrupt me because it knows I'm about to say something crazy. But I got the Lions money line, man, and taking the points, I'll probably raise it to 3.5. I don't really know why I'm doing this to myself. The last time the Lions played the Bears, I just can't get over the fact that they honestly should have covered the number. I always think about this being a historic thing in sports, or in football and in gambling. The Lions went 3 straight possessions deep in the red zone. I'm talking within 10 yards of the end zone and got no points. 3 straight times, no points. It was turnover on downs, a fumble, and an interception. 3 straight times. They wind up losing that game, I think, by a score, like maybe like 4 or 5 or something like that. I don't have it in front of me. But either way, had they scored just once in those 3 possessions, they would have covered. I think they get it right this time. I don't see how they can't beat this team. I mean, there's fans in Chicago right now at the AEW event screaming, fire Nagy. There's reports that Nagy's being fired. The guy hasn't coached well at all. If he can coach and win a game through all of this, then everything I've known about Matt Nagy is wrong, and Dan Campbell is the absolute worst.
He's not calling plays, though, this week, right? They're still
letting the court. It doesn't matter. He's on the sideline. He's on the
reason
side.
It matters is because David Montgomery. I mean, the Lions give up 140 yards per game on the ground. If the Bears are smart, they're just going to hand the ball to Montgomery a lot. I mean, I think it's a shame for Chicago, because I thought Fields was really starting to show some signs of life. And with Montgomery coming back, their offense was just – I mean, it was looking better. And, you know, it sucks that we got to get – fucking Dalton in this game and not Justin Fields. But I'm sorry, if it went to 3.5, I would definitely be on your side. I'd probably stay away or lean towards taking the Lions. But if it's just a field goal, I mean, Chicago, even with all those injuries, with everything else, I think they're going to win. You got a lot of trends going their way. The Lions are 2-10 against the spread as underdogs in their last 12. That's on Thanksgiving. And then they are 1-5 in their last 6 after against the spread win, which they did last week. I think the under is actually the play probably to go with here, that I feel most confident about. But I can't pick the Lions. I don't think it's crazy though for you to do it, because this is the game they need to win. If they don't win this game, they're probably going 0-17 to become technically the worst team in history, because the two other winless teams, which were they both Lions?
I can't recall.
I know one of them was. Well, they lost 16 games. So, That's why when you said that, you know, there's something about to get excited about every game but the last one. This one's the one I'm having the hardest time to get excited about, unless the Lions win, which that'd be fun. But I'd take the Bears. I'd give the points. And like I said, I also like the under, even at 41.5. I don't look to see a ton of points in this game.
Yeah, I like the under here, too, even if it is in the dome. I just – the Lions have a little bit of explosion in their offense, but very little. Bears don't have much explosion in their offense. And then again, once you get into the red zone, they're just clusterfucks, man. Just the goofiest teams, goofy play calling, goofy execution. It's not a game that I'm gonna be putting a whole lot of stock into, but I disagree with laying the points on the Bears. And if it's at 3.5, I definitely like it. That's why I bought the hook and just put it at 3.5. Because if the Lions lose, they typically lose on a field goal.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so if they're going to lose, I'm assuming they would at least still cover the 3.5, even if they don't win. But I think this is their best chance. It's probably, like you said, their last chance. I expect to see some desperation out of them. And honestly, I don't know if the team is behind Nagy. And if the reports are true that he's basically fired regardless of what happens in this game, they could very well just mail it in. I mean, losing to the Lions would be embarrassing, but it would definitely be a big middle finger to a coach that has worn his welcome out in Chicago. So, prop-wise, what prop did you like the most that stood out to you in this game?
So I want to get three real quick. Montgomery at 4-1 to score the first touchdown. Again, Lions get 140 yards per on the ground. Second most NFL. They're fourth worst in DVOA versus the run. I mean, Dalton's going to be at quarterback. Mooney looks like he's going to play. Robinson looks like he's not. But, I mean, even if they do, they're banged up. He saw 95% of the snaps at running back last week. I mean, who else on the Bears do you think is going to score? I think the Bears are probably more likely to score first. So that would be probably my favorite one. I would take a shot also at the Bears D's first touchdown scored at 20-1. I mean, Detroit, not afraid to turn it over. Goff coming back does not concern me at all. I could see that as a flyer. And then my favorite play out of the three props is Hockenson over 44.5 yards at -110. He's over that total in four of his last five. The big thing for me is he's seen 40 targets in those five games. That includes one where he had one target. So in the other four, he had 39 targets. It's almost 10 a game. I think the Bears, again, are going to win this game. They'll be leading probably for a majority of it. It's just going to mean more throws. I also like his 4.5 receptions over as well at +110. I'd probably parlay those two together, actually, if I was going to do that. But Hockenson has become their only wide receiver option. And if you look at it, as this season has gone on, it looks a lot like last year. And for me, 44.5 yards and 4.5 receptions, when you got two safeties potentially out, you got linebackers out, you got defensive ends out, I think Lions are going to be able to move it a little bit, and Hockenson's obviously going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I don't know what he did the first game, but the Lions moved the ball against him the first game, too. Like I said, they had three straight. They literally started the game in the red zone. Like, they didn't have a problem moving the ball against them, and the defense was healthier then. I'm going with DeAndre Swift over 68.5 yards. Just, I guess you could call this a flyer. Since the bye week, he's had two games. He's had 266 yards in those two games. He seems to be really eating up some chunk yardage on the ground. I know the Lions are not necessarily known to be a team that runs the ball well, but with Hicks out, it could be a big momentum shift for their game plan. And I like the idea that Swift will be able to break at least one long run. I'm thinking like a run of like maybe 20 yards or so, based off the fact that there's just so many injuries with Bears defense. So that would be my prop there. Other than that, again, this is a lot of time spent on a game that's not going to have much entertainment value, but we only got three games on Thanksgiving. And this
there'll be a lot of people taking naps in the second half of this game. I can guarantee you.
For sure. If you're looking to live bet, I would definitely pick on the fact that these teams are poorly like executing teams. So you can bank on a lot
of. You're trying to be so nice tonight. They both suck. No, you can say it.
Yeah, no. I mean, they don't execute. That's the best way to put it. But you can do some live betting and bet on teams to punt, like drives to end in punts, drives to end in field goals, things like that. First play to be pass and things. I actually do like to do like $10 bets on stuff like that all the time, like to figure out if I've figured out like tendencies. And you'd be surprised how many times I'm on the thread bitching about somebody's play calling because I'm literally figuring it out. Like, oh, they're gonna run. Oh, they're gonna pass. Like, it's really like a easy way to make a couple dollars on the side. Second game should be more entertaining. Everybody's saying shootout, and in the NFL, when people say shootout, we usually get a dud. So I'm a little nervous.
Are people
really
saying shootout?
Yeah, yeah.
Even with all the injuries, okay.
Yeah, Raiders visiting Dallas. Dallas is laying 7 at home. Over-under is at 51.5. I think one of the reasons why people are saying shootout is because as much as Dallas's defense is looking good,
they're just opportunistic.
Yeah, they're boom or bust. They give up explosive plays, and the Raiders' offense is just built on explosive plays. So it does make for an interesting matchup. Tyron Smith is coming back. Amari Cooper is still out. Let's see. I wrote Dallas in a potential get right spot. I still do have questions for preparation for Las Vegas since Gruden's been out. I said something about that last week when I picked the Chiefs, that I feel like we're now getting into that area where the momentum's worn off, the coach isn't there. There's some X's not getting crossed, some T's not getting crossed, some I's not getting dotted, and it's kind of messing them up. Also, missing Ruggs has really allowed teams to key in on Darren Waller. Renfro doesn't stretch the field, and DeSean Jackson is coming along, but obviously not fast enough because he literally just got there. They can't run the ball, which is extremely weird because Josh Jacobs is so talented. So it's definitely
too.
Huh?
I said Drake's good too. They have two good backs.
Yeah, so it's definitely looking like a game that, you know, all things considered, Vegas should be able to keep up a little, but it's just not something I think a lot of people have confidence in.
Is the number still 7.5?
It's 7 on my bookie.
Okay, so first of all, yeah, I would buy it to 7.5, but I actually like the Raiders. Gun to my head, if you're saying 7.5 is the number, because I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. I have no doubt with obviously Cooper being out. We don't know if Lamb's going to play. Elliott's been banged up. I think if the Cowboys get up, they're going to take their foot off the gas. I think you can see a lot of Pollard late if they're up by, say, 2 scores in the fourth quarter. And because of that, I could just see the Raiders basically backdoor covering this game because I do not think it's going to be a ton of points. And maybe Dak has a really big game on a big stage, which he was kind of in the MVP discussion and then unfortunately has had his, you know, 2 of his worst games in the last 3 weeks. But I still think they're going to be able to move the ball. Schultz is a decent weapon. I think they're going to try to run the ball down the Raiders' throat, which you definitely can. Another bad run defense. But I just think overall, if you're saying 7.5, I'd actually take the points.
I worry about the Raiders' ability to keep up. I keep saying that. I don't think Dallas is taking their foot off the pedal just because they lost last week and they had a dud. If you look at the game where they lost to the Broncos, they came out the next week and tried to just obliterate.
You think they get up 2 scores in the second half? They keep pounding Elliott, even with the injuries and stuff? You wouldn't give him rest?
Yeah, have you met Mike McCarthy? He's not very intelligent.
Well, that's fair.
He's not, man. I don't think he's resting anybody. I think, especially on this kind of stage, that they're gonna go for some style points. I don't think they take their foot off the gas just yet. I honestly don't see. I don't think we're at that time of the year where you think like that. I mean, injuries are gonna happen one way or another. If guys are super banged up, then yeah, you take them out. But 2 scores, that can change at the drop of a dime. We've seen that plenty of times this year with people just, hell, Lions and Niners. They were up 40-something to like 17, and after a fluke fumble and 2 crazy onside kicks, they're within 8 points, you know? And I think the the Rams and Texans had a similar situation as well, where they were up a certain amount, and then all of a sudden it's a nail biter again. So I would at least expect them to be up three scores before they start considering taking their foot off the gas. And then given the history of the Cowboys in the second half to let teams come back, they did that with the Panthers earlier this year too. I don't know if they want to ever take their foot off the gas again, because that potentially could have been a scary situation too if an onside kick had been recovered. I think they were up. They scored like 20 points unanswered in the third quarter and still only won by like eight because they took their foot off the gas in the fourth. Zeke didn't have a great game last week. I think this week sets up for him well. Raiders are a little soft up front and just in the box in general. Their strength is their pass rush. With Tyron Smith back, that should really help the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. Their receivers didn't help Dak at all last week. And I've been going over some of the game, like on the All-22s, and then for some reason they took it away from me. But what I did see on All-22s was just poor execution. I keep saying that word, but I mean, it's true. It wasn't that the Chiefs like just outright beat them. Cowboys kind of beat themselves in a lot of spots that game. And that happens. It's a long season. You're not always perfect. You're not always in sync. And when you lose somebody like Amari Cooper, through the COVID, you know, some guys are put in positions that typically they don't find themselves in, needing to be open in spots where usually they're not even looked at as an option, and they just didn't perform. I liked Josh Jacobs' prop over 3.5 receptions at +125, just on a hunch that Parsons and this defensive front is going to get some pressure on Derek Carr early. I've always talked about how Carr isn't that great under pressure at times, and I think he'll want to check down more often than he would prefer. And Jacobs would be that guy. The last three games, I think he's had about 4 to 5 targets. If he's coming out the backfield, and if Parsons is rushing and Jacobs is coming out the backfield, then that means there's LVE on him, and I'll take that matchup any day of the week.
Real quickly before I get into my props, if Lamb doesn't play, what does that do to the line, you think?
If Lamb doesn't play, the most it'll drop is like 1.5, maybe 2. Okay. And hell, he might not move it at all, for real. Because, I mean, even if Lamb doesn't play, like, they still got the ability to move the ball up and down the field. Like, when Davante Adams didn't play, I think the line dropped 3 or 4 points, maybe. And it was like, that was like a big deal, because that's the type of line drop you expect from a quarterback. But he's so impactful that, that when, I forgot the game. I think it might have been the Cardinals game that the Packers played. Yeah, you know, it dropped like somewhere between 2 to 4. Most times when a receiver is out, if it's the wide receiver one, is usually like 2 points. So yeah, I wouldn't expect Stevie to move it any more than that.
I just wondering if that would make it more valuable if you got it at 7.5 for the Raiders, if there's a chance he doesn't play. I mean, they're saying the Cowboys seem confident. Everything I've read, it's almost impossible to pass concussion protocol, you know, by Thursday, obviously with the Thanksgiving games. But
so has he practiced yet?
They gave him one limited practice.
No, then he can pass. Yeah.
Okay.
So concussion protocol in the NFL, let's say you get a concussion on Sunday. If you can get into a practice on Wednesday, you can get cleared by Thursday. That's really the key. Like, you got to get into that practice by Wednesday. And obviously, Monday, they're not going to let you practice because you got to wait like 24 hours or so to clear your head. And then when you get evaluated Tuesday, if you even show up and just fucking pedal the bike by Wednesday, they'll clear you. I swear they will. I've seen it done. They'll clear you. But you gotta basically be present and do something physical. And that, like, honestly, when you say limited practice, I'm 100% guarantee it was just him on a fucking bike, and that's all they need to see, and that's how they report it. Limited practice. They don't say exactly what he did, but if you fucking do the bike and put your helmet on and go through the walkthrough, you're good to go. You're clear.
All right, so I got two props for you real quick. Dalton Schultz to score the first touchdown is 12-1, and any time score is +140. I like both of those. Again, I would feel more confident. Obviously, Lamb doesn't play along with Cooper, but we saw last week where Schultz saw 8 targets without Cooper on the field. He's by a wide margin the number 3 receiver and the 3rd most targeted receiver on the Cowboys. He has 5 or more receptions in 6 games already this season, 3 touchdowns. The Raiders give up 71 yards per game to tight ends. That's 2nd in the NFL. I mean, it just obviously would say a lot that Schultz is probably going to be looked at a lot with Cooper out. We saw how much Gallup, Wilson, some of those receivers struggled last week. While Schultz had a good game, I think it's more likely that that goes to him early because of that. And then the other is Tony Pollard over 45.5 yards at -115. Even with Elliott playing, I think he reaches this number. He's had 42 and 50 the last 2 weeks with Elliott playing. If the Cowboys can take control of the game, I really do think they're going to see him get more carries down the stretch. I don't think there's any reason to overdo it with Elliott. When Elliott started the season great, he opened with I think he topped 100 total yards in 4 of 6. He has not eclipsed 76 total yards in his last 4. They faced Atlanta, Minnesota, Denver, and Kansas City. So this is not like a murderer's row of run defenses, especially Atlanta and Minnesota in the bottom third of the league. So I just think he's banged up because he looks so great early, and then he has really struggled moving on. So I'm going to try to play that by taking the Tony Pollard over at 45.5 total yards.
Yeah, he's nursing a knee injury. He had – I think the report I read was he practiced, but – like, he's going to play, but I don't think he's 100%. Pollard is the more explosive back. He definitely could break 1 or 2 of 7 or 8 yards a game and end up with, like, 10 carries and basically 5 yards a carry, and boom, you got the over. I like that, too, when I first saw it as well. I would take a look at Waller's receptions at 5.5 over. Like, even if he doesn't get to the 69.5 yards or 70 yards, the only – and I think I still have it up. No, I don't. The only tight end that really stood out against the Cowboys this year, well, there's two. It was the tight end in the Eagles game and then Gronkowski. And I don't – think I can't remember who the tight end was in the Eagles game, if they were still using Zach Ertz at that time.
They both had a decent game. I think Ertz had more yards and Gardner had a touchdown.
Okay. Yeah, so they can be got by a decent tight end. My only one, I don't think Diggs is the type of cornerback or DB that you would put on a big body tight end or somebody like Waller. I don't think he can cover him just through a physicality standpoint. But they can definitely get creative on how they cover him, because Diggs can cover Renfro. He can't run by him, so it's kind of an easy cover. And then who's their second option? Was Zay Jones? He's like he's terrible.
They don't have a second option right now. Yeah, it's Waller.
I expect Waller to see at least 10-plus targets, and Carr will definitely force him the ball. He's just got to catch it. So, but the over is what I like in this game as well. I like the over 51.5. I think when you look at a defense like the Raiders that gives up about 26 a game, going up against the Cowboys offense that is itching to get right, itching to really put some points on the board, because they did not look good at all last week, and they're playing at home in front of their home crowd. I'm sure Jerry's giving them some rah-rah speech about the history of what it means to be a Cowboy playing on Thanksgiving, yada yada. So I expect them to come out and give A-plus effort.
They're gonna need it.
Yeah,
because the Eagles are coming on strong.
Anyway, Dallas is 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 games. Keep that in mind as well. They do cover big numbers, small numbers. You know, they cover. Didn't cover last week, but especially at home, outside of that Broncos game, you can literally toss that out. That's not who Dallas is. So I don't expect that to ever happen again. Last game of the night. Bills versus Saints. Saints are 6.5-point underdogs. Kamara's out. Ingram's questionable. Simeon is still the quarterback. There's no real key injuries on the Bills. Bills just, if there's ever a time to apply the term get right, this, it has to happen. Like, they have to cover. I literally put in my notes, I'm forced to take the Bills. They have to cover this number. Like, it's not just enough to win. Like, they have to get over the hump here and just make a good showing of the Saints, because what they don't want to do is lose another game and be forced to have to win out against Belichick and this Patriots team.
I mean, that's pretty much it. The Saints, unfortunately, I mean, without Kamara, they're fighting with their hands behind their backs. Buffalo, maybe the good bad team this year. I mean, in fairness, like, you look at their schedule, you know, they had the big win against the Chiefs, and they deserve that. But that was when the Chiefs were almost at their lowest point. And I mean, other than that, it's been rough. They beat up on the Jets. They beat up on the Dolphins. They beat up on, I mean, really the Jaguars. They didn't even beat up on the Jaguars. They lost to them. And then, you know, most of the good teams they've played, the Titans, et cetera, they've lost to. But I'm with you. I like Buffalo here. The Saints defense is what people are not talking about. It's been really bad the last month. We really look for trends on the fantasy podcast to look at defenses that teams are not, or, you know, people are not going to expect to attack. And that's what Saints are. They can't stop the run right now. They can't stop the pass. I mean, the Eagles put up 40 on them last week, pretty much running the ball. Even in the game they beat the Bucs, Brady had a ton of success throwing the ball. I mean, Ryan Tannehill threw the ball well against them 2 weeks ago, with really A.J. Brown being a non-factor. And I just think Allen, with those weapons, they're going to cover the spread. They're going to score a ton of points. And I think this is going to get pretty ugly early.
Yeah, it should. I mean, unless we get bad Josh Allen, let's turn the ball over. Like, that's what killed them the most last week, was the turnovers. You really want to make a bad situation worse, you give away points. He can't do that. Like, against the Saints or anybody for that matter. So I don't know what the Bills need to do to win other than just get it done. There's really not much else to talk about. Like, this is a team returning majority of their roster. Obviously, all their coaching staff is still there. There hasn't been much turnover from the team last year. So, you know, they just got to be better.
That's, you think Allen is suffering from some of the same things that Mahomes has struggled with, that teams are now saying, okay, we're just not going to let you get big chunk plays, and you're going to have to put drives together and take your time and throw underneath. And has that kind of been the issue? Because, I mean, if you look, the one game that he wasn't able to throw down the field in the last four, the one game he was able to throw down the field against Miami is the only good game he's had basically in the last four.
I haven't looked at the Bills to see what's going on, but I would be kind of impressed and concerned if people wanted to play Josh Allen like they play Patrick Mahomes, just because he's such a threat to run. Like, Patty can run. He's just not a threat to run. Like, there's a difference. Like, Josh Allen will break off a 30, 40-yard run at any given notice. Patty's going to get you 10 here and there. So they're just not necessarily the same kind of player from that aspect. And then as far as how they are in the pocket, I think Josh has a tendency to roll and run. So if he rolls right, he's not really looking to pass per se. He'll just tuck it and run. Whereas Patty's constantly trying to get that deep. Like, he's a pass first mentality type person. So playing him with the shell cover two that you see people do, only rushing four people, would be more effective than, I think, Josh Allen per se. Because even in the man-to-man coverages that the Bills would see, I don't think they would cover the weapons that he has, similar to how Andy Reid runs his offense, you know? Like, I just would have a hard time grasping that same concept on defense applies to Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. Cause I don't see.
So it's more, you think it's just inaccuracies. Cause if you look at the last four or five games, the average yards per reception, you know, the big plays have gone down considerably compared to the first 6-7 weeks.
Yeah. I think the reason for that, is him being inaccurate. It's just, you know, he's always had that he's always had that thing about him. He's never been a 67% or better passer, man. He's more of the low 60s at best. We know I said, and I think Joe said, last year was probably an anomaly. We're getting more back to what he is as a passer now. Like, this is the truer Josh Allen. And I think he just needs to use his legs more. Like, you know, once he starts breaking off runs again, when we see him getting 60 plus yards a game, you'll see defenses try to play him a little differently. And then that'll open up the pass for him, make it easier for him to get away with being inaccurate. Because right now, people are not necessarily playing him to run as much.
Yeah, he had, I think, 100 yards in the last five games combined. Yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah, when he throws the ball, there's probably an extra guy or two in coverage here and there or in spots. Because, again, I would have to look at their at the film to kind of figure out what people are doing against them. Because I did figure out what people were doing against the Chiefs, and I was supposed to do a write-up on that. But I've been applying that to my bets because I was like – technically speaking, Dallas can only play them one way, and the way that they needed to play, they would sacrifice coverage for pass rush because Parsons, their best coverage linebacker as well. But if he's rushing, you got LVE against Kelsey, LVE against basically anybody that's coming across the middle of the field, and he's dead in the water. Other teams don't necessarily have that downfall. And like I said, with the Jags did play him straight up, but they also have a dominant pass rusher in Josh Allen, and he was able to get pressure on him. But the plays, like that interception that Josh Allen had, was a variable. He came to rush and then dropped back. And that threw Josh Allen, the quarterback, off, and he ended up throwing an interception. So it's a little I get what you're saying. I'm going to go back and look all night because I'm curious, too. Like, are they doing that? Because if they are, then I would have to change my stance. But as it stands right now, I don't think they're playing him like they're playing Patty. So Bills got to win, though. That's basically all I said in my 15 minute ramble. Bills,
yeah, they better win because
they got to win. They got to cover. Lead.
It's crazy. Hate it.
And I was going to say, my prop for this game, first time scorer, Matt Breida. And then if you want to take him anytime score, it's plus 390. But it was 15-1 on the MyBookie prop bet that I saw. You said you saw it on FanDuel DraftKings at 22-1. Mm-hmm. It is a long shot. Okay, it's a long shot. But they did say Sean McDermott said that Breida would be getting more touches. I would expect him to get touches in and around the red zone as well because he's explosive. So if you're almost 4-1 to score, I think that's a good time to play him.
Yeah, I mean, with the Bills running backs, I've told Joe this when he's picked him a good bit on the fantasy podcast. I mean, it's like Russian roulette. Like, you have no idea. So, of course, yeah, if you're going to take a touchdown, take the guy with the most odds because there's literally no rhyme or reason to who probably gets that, you know, first chance from the one or two. I really like Diggs' first touchdown, 8-1. He has really come on the last 5 weeks. He's got five touchdowns in his last six games. It's almost Allen's got back to where he is, in my opinion, sometimes looking at him too much. He's seeing those 11, 13 target games. And then the other one I really like, and this may be too much, but remember the Saints are one of the worst defenses in the league against slot receivers. The Bills have several guys that can go into the slot and just, I mean, absolutely torch you. Allen to throw for 375 and three touchdowns is 12-1. I think there's a chance he can do that. And for 12-1, I'd definitely take a chance at him.
Yeah, but in the same breath, I like the under here. And that's more so because I just don't know what the Saints are going to give me. Like, they're potentially looking to be out of two quarterbacks, out of two running backs. And then Simeon, he has the ability, but this is the type of defense he's struggled against in the past.
Especially if they get down, right? Like, yeah. If they get down, the Bills are just going to tee off.
Because he's gonna, like, when they try to throw to the sideline, he has trouble making those throws consistently, and that's where he gets picked off by aggressive DBs. And I think the Bills are an aggressive secondary.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would not feel good about the over for sure.
Yeah. All right. So those are the three games. I will be back for the rest of the Sunday matchup. I'll probably post that early Saturday morning. If you're listening to this podcast and you're in the group, we will be having a Facebook room for people to talk shit during the Ohio State and Michigan game at noon. Ironically, I have to work all day Saturday, so I'm going to start the room and just put my phone on mute and occasionally pop in to talk trash on whoever's crying at the time.
It's going
to
be Michigan. Like, they're going to lose. Yeah. People quit.
I think
quit
they are, too.
Quit it. But they're going to lose. Either way,
it'll probably be an echo chamber of Buckeye fans and Michigan haters, because there's only like one or two Michigan people that will show up. But we'll see how it goes. They still got to play the game. And as the NFL has shown us in the last 3 weeks, anything usually will and can happen. DJ's Law is in full effect.
It is, but just a reminder to people, because I learned this as a Georgia fan firsthand in the 2000s, 2010s, playing Florida. If you can't beat a team for a decade, they're not your rival. They're just your daddy. Like, that's just the way it is. So right now, Michigan, you got to go get a win. And until then, I'm just not going to believe it. I don't – like, good for Michigan. They're having a good year. They're probably going to get smoked.
Yeah, man. They probably will. I don't really see how it's going to change anything either. But – they are top five, and they'll end up top 10 regardless of this game, which is a win for the program. It's good to see them back on the national scene, and hopefully they can use that to get better recruiting classes and build some momentum. All right, so Keith, you probably need to come back for the regular show too, because I need the good luck.
I'll be here, man.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how tomorrow goes. If I go 0-3, you're fired, and I'll bring you back for golf.
Perfect. We'll have a fantasy podcast up, hopefully, either tomorrow night or Friday. We were going to try to do Thursday games. It just didn't work out. So, obviously, we're just going to do Sunday, Monday. But we are doing an IB Sports DraftKings entry. I've already sent that out. I'll share it again in the morning in the Facebook group. But sign up for that. Those have been fun.
Okay. And also – I told Joe I would apologize on his behalf. We couldn't schedule this week's NFL recap show simply because this is the holidays and he had family come into town. And he sends his regards because he really wanted to dance on Jason Garrett's play calling grave. But he can't. He'll have to wait till next week, unfortunately for him. And so we will be back again. Like I said, we'll be back with the Sunday games. But for now, this is Keith and IBS Jesus signing off.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.